TalkLine is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during TalkLine may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Express yourself.
Hello, hello. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TalkLine. This is Diane McGachran. I was out for 2 weeks, but thank you so much to Nikolai Joke for sitting in. Really appreciate it. But I'm back. We have callers lined up, and this is TalkLine, where you, the caller, bring to the table anything that you want to talk about, gratitude you have, cautions you have, issues you want to share, and hear what other people think about it. All good. So we're going to go right to our first caller, and that's Kelly from the 4-H. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, so this is my first time actually calling in. But,
well, good for you.
thank goodness it's Friday.
Yeah.
We made it to Friday. I just wanted to briefly talk about the 4-H program and what we're looking to do for the fall semester.
Nice. Yeah, thank you.
With everything going on, you know, it's a lot going on, and it's an adjustment for our parents and, you know, trying to figure out this whole thing and child care and, you know, just the whole system. You know, it's like a trickle-down effect. So what 4-H is looking to do for the fall is we're actually asking for some parent volunteers. If any parents are interested in coming to volunteer or being able to facilitate or host a small group of youth, no more than 10, maybe doing, you know, maybe some homework or tutorial groups, homework clubs, or anything that, you know, outside of school that the kids can kind of get their hands into, you know, without getting distracted with everything that's going on. So, yeah, so we're looking to do that. We kind of bummed out, you know. We usually have about 50 kids in the building with program. And, you know, we won't ever probably no time soon get back to that space. And so we want to be able to meet the needs of our stakeholders by any means, you know, necessary. And so that's what we're asking for. Any families, 4-H parents, anyone in the community that's interested in volunteering with 4-H and willing to facilitate a small group of youth, please reach out to myself at 907-543-2088, or you can email me at K as in Kelly, V as in Victor, Johnson3@alaska.edu. We're excited. Like I said, we're excited about this semester and this new structure. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Now,
so please reach out.
Now, yeah, Kelly, that's really great that you guys are going to rope people together like that and sort of put together to the best that is possible during a time like this some things that are useful for children and also, of course, for parents. So when the when someone volunteers, would they be do they go to the teen center and do the activity there with kids helping with homework? What is your vision of that?
So we actually just, you know, had a meeting with, you know, we are the university, and so Extension just recently got together, and so we are allowed, volunteers are allowed to meet. Not in their homes, though. As of right now, not in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could, we have tents here at the center, so if we need to set up here, and we can write a mitigation plan that will allow us to have those groups here as well. But of course, we need to go through that process. But anywhere that is not at your home, so maybe the church, I know a few churches around here are allowing groups to come if we coordinate that, but just not at your home. And then we also have the university, we have a volunteer leader, a few trainings that the volunteer would need to go through. They're not extensive at all. Just really securing the safety of themselves and our youth. Mm-hmm. And the program. And so there's a few different trainings that they would need to go through. But other than that, the main restriction is, well, the two main restrictions is, number one, not having any cohort, no more than 10. And that's including the adults, mm-hmm. As well as not meeting in your home.
Mm-hmm.
So, those are the two main restrictions. And if you need any more details on that, any volunteers or anyone interested, please reach out. We have the resources, and that's the other thing. The reason why we're kind of structuring it this way is because we have the resources for HD University. We have the resources here, and, we want to meet those needs. Since we can't have those 50 kids, let's break it down. You know, let's break it down into different cohorts. And so that, I think it's going to be good, you know, trying to stay positive about it. But, like I said, those two main restrictions are the no more than 10, and that's including adults, as well as not meeting in your home. And before you do meet, there are those volunteer trainings that you'll have to go through. Like I said, they're not extensive. They're not long at all. The simple ones, the child safety and, you know, the background checks and things like that. So.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. That's going to be a lot to coordinate, but it sounds like you know all the steps to it. And maybe what a parent can do, if a parent wants to volunteer but don't really have a clear idea of what exactly mm-hmm. they'd like to do, they can just call and you guys can talk mm-hmm. it over and figure yeah. out a plan too. So
yes,
it's
sure.
okay if
yes.
the parent doesn't really have, but they want to help, so.
Right.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Yep, that's what we're looking for. Yep.
Well,
thank
Kelly,
you.
Kelly, I just want to say I think you did a great job on your first time calling in.
Thank you.
So please, we love to hear from people and also activities and things related to children. Feel free to call anytime and touch base with everyone through TalkLine.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, we're going to go to John Nick from Bethel. Good morning, John.
Morning, Dan. Welcome back.
Thank also. You.
And I'd like to tell that woman congratulations being the first caller.
I know. I should have given. Not only was it her first time calling, she was the first caller.
She's lucky.
I know.
Anyway, I'd like to thank Ozzie DeMinto for bringing us some silver. So we're going to make salted fish for the wintertime subsistence. You know, it tastes good with salted and stuff like that. I want to thank him very much. And he's a good man. He cares for a lot of people. He cares for the elderly. And he goes around asking people if they're in need of fish or anything like that, and he's really helpful. He's a good person. I hope everything he does come back to him. Shut up, Dad.
Okay.
Anyway, come back to him in plenty, you know.
Uh-huh.
Sorry about that, hollering at my dog.
That's all right.
Anyway, another thing I'd like to talk about is last week I called about Jalista. You weren't here.
Uh-huh.
Seemed like that stimulus package for the shareholders, are still being held up and not even uttering a word about it. Why is it so secret? Everybody knows it's there, and all the corporations, yet they're holding off on that. They should communicate with the shareholders so that they can win their trust instead of being untrustworthy like they're doing now. That's all they lose is they're trusting people. Be upfront and tell it as it is. Don't hold back the facts. You know, gee whiz.
Sure.
It seems like I'm the only one that calls about this also. I was wondering, where are all the shareholders that are concerned about this? Am I the only one here? You have voices too, you know. If you want Jalista to be run under your shareholders' advice, call. Whatever you know, call whatever bothers you. Don't let Jalista to run its course and run over you. Be man enough or woman enough to be able at least to have the courage to pick up the phone and call and tell your opinions. You have that choice. Otherwise, they're just going to go on and on and on. And it seems like I'm the only warrior around that talks about all this stuff. A lot of chiefs, but not enough Indians. so to speak, you know, and then it gets frustrating to me.
Uh-huh.
Because where is all the backup? Everybody telling me what to say, what to do, and say on talk line, yet they don't call up and encourage their opinions. Pick up the phone and show your concern. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid about. You know, pick it up. Maybe it'll help me and maybe other shareholders, and maybe it'll help yourself. Anyway, I want to thank Ozzy again for all the generosity he gave us, and I'd like to wish everyone a good, successful fishing season this year. The silver seem to be running. When it's getting cooler in the morning, you can feel that brisk in the morning. Boy, that feels good, though.
Oh, yeah.
Nice, fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're out there boating and stuff, please wear your life jacket. When you see oncoming boats coming really fast,
mm-hmm.
kind of slow down so you can know which direction they're going to be taking. They should be taking their left lane, opposite lanes when they see each other.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they're going so fast they then make a split decision,
right.
And they make the wrong decision. It's better to slow down. When you slow down in the distance, you can see the boat slow down because it'll create a wake,
mm-hmm.
you know, a slow wake, whereas the fast one will bypass the wake. So it better be observant and be careful.
Mm.
You know, these engines have a lot of power.
Yeah.
We just had tragedy not too long ago, and it's really hard to please be aware, especially in blind corners in the slough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to be safety conscious. Wear your life jacket, and please don't drink and drive. And I want to thank you again, Diane. Welcome back.
Thank you. You too, John. Glad
okay,
to hear from you.
Everyone have a good, safe weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Thank
All
right. you. Bye. Yeah.
Good. Okay, I'm going to give a shout-out to Deshianne Foray, who has returned to Bethel after 16 years. She used to live out here, and it's very nice to have her back. And she's working at the Kuskokwim campus as a wellness counselor and assistant professor in social services. So anyway, I'm going to give you the numbers right now, and then there's some courthouse voting information for you, but the numbers are 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also use our 800 number from anywhere in the United States, 800-995-8954, and you can email us at radio@kyuk.org. We will read your email over the air. Your email and your calls can be anonymous if you would like. So, if you're very shy, you can still get your point out without being identified. Okay, we're going to go to Buck from Bethel. Good morning, Buck. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. I've got a gripe to talk about, but before I do that, today is August 14th, and 75 years ago today, on August 14th, today is known as VJ Day, Victory Over Japan. So for all those guys that had family members or are still around, like Mr. Dave Trantum, congratulations for winning World War II against the Japanese. Today was the day that it was all over. And for all you people that have relatives in the Alaska Territorial Guard, today's a day to be proud because they guarded Western Alaska and kept it safe. 75 years ago today, it was over. And congratulations to you folks. Okay, now my gripe. I have been victimized, and it feels terrible. It feels awful. I was extremely upset. Never in my whole life has anything like this happened.
Wow.
I have been victimized by President Donald Trump, Attorney General William Barr, and this new head of the post office. I don't even know his name yet. He won't last very long. Okay, now here's the deal.
Well, you still have my sympathy. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. And everybody else in Bethel, too, I I received on Monday night my absentee ballot to vote. I filled it all out, and then there's a place to sign for witness. And the instructions said you could get a notary public, you could get some government official, you could get some military officer, or you could do it at the post office. So I says, oh, good. I got to go buy a stamp tomorrow. I'll go to the post office while I'm getting my stamp. I'll have the person behind the counter witness my form. I'll seal it and send it in and put a stamp on it. Well, I went there, and now, mind you, I got this Monday night, and I brought it Tuesday morning. Waited my turn in line, and the lady working behind the counter says, I'm sorry, sir, I'm not allowed to sign that as a witness while I'm on duty. I could do it after work or something like that, but
oh,
I can't do it.
Oh, wow.
I cannot do it while I'm on duty. I said, what do you mean? The post office has been signing witness for everything since I was a little kid in the Boy Scouts. I remember getting signatures at the post office as a witness. And for 20 years out in Chivac, that's the only, there was no notary publics out there. Everything had to be, the postmaster witnessed everything. And she says, I'm sorry, but we got a letter last night. So the post office gets the letter the same day everybody gets their mail-in ballots. So what are the people going to do if there's no notary? And it said, if you need to, just somebody else can be a witness. But are they going to count that, or are they going to use that? Well, we don't know who this person is, and we'll throw this ballot out. So I got the next person in line to sign as my witness. She happened to know me, and she signed, and I got the stamp on it and sent it in. But that is 100% voter suppression. They're doing everything in their power to make it difficult for you to vote. And you're going to get enough difficulties, you're going to say, well, I'm not going to vote. It's not going to be worth it. I'd get off my deathbed to go vote. That's my right to go do that. And I've been doing it since I turned 21.
Well,
made a few mistakes, like I voted for Nixon, but
okay, you know, all can be forgiven.
I ain't going to forgive this. This is
no,
this,
I'm talking about your Nixon
suppression. Vote. It's illegal. It's against the law. It ain't right. So all these people that, you know, I know how you feel. If you were down at the lower 48 and you had Jim Crow laws and you had poll taxes and you had all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
just so you could go vote, man, I know how you feel.
Mm-hmm. Well, the postal head is Louis DeJoy, is the name of the guy who's in charge of U.S. Postal now. And President Trump did say that one of the reasons he was withholding funding from the Postal Service was to inhibit voting. He did say that. So I'm not saying I'm not being political. That's just exactly what he said. He admitted it.
Yeah. I watched it. Yeah. But he's not just holding funding. He's not allowing to get a signature. I mean, I could get a signature from somebody else, but the plan was, oh, go to the post office, get the signature, mail it all out, all in one step.
Well, it says it on the ballot. Go to the post office. You can do it at the post office.
Yeah, and then they got the letter. The same night all the ballots went out, they got a letter saying they're not allowed to do it.
Yeah.
I wonder if it said they can't sign any witness anything anywhere. Or just mail-in voting.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, I was pretty upset about that.
I'm sorry, so, yeah.
Well, that's okay. You don't have to be sorry. Already, that was my gripe for today. And
okay.
Anybody else that hasn't got their mail-in ballot in, get it in now, and don't expect to be able to get it witnessed at the post office. All right, have a good day. Bye.
Thanks, Buck. Okay, we're going to go to Herman from Antioch. Good morning, Herman.
Yeah, I feel sorry for people are being deceived by you guys.
Oh.
It's not President Trump's fault. This mail-in voting, that's fraud.
Oh.
That's, Diane, please don't interrupt me, okay? Please. Okay? This is my time, and don't interrupt me. You're blaming it on President Trump and Buck, too, you know? It's these Democrats are doing it. There's so much voter fraud. Even in Anchorage, they're using this lockdown to... What they do is they pay people, the Democrats, to go around and pick up ballots. And, they call it ballot harvesting. Even here in Alaska, it's all about the permanent fund. They want to get the same people elected back. And mail-in voting, that's voter fraud. That there's so much voter fraud. You know, the lieutenant governor, he put out a thing. It's too dangerous to go vote. You got to vote by mail. A few days later, they open up polling places. That's a lie, this mail-in voting. It's a way to get some people back in power. You know what? They control the news. And they, you know, Diane, somebody offered $15,000 for somebody who's a conservative to be a talk radio host, but they said no. That's how powerful talk radio is. They get a host who's against. Look at Lower 48. Some cities are collapsing. People are going crazy because of people they elected by mail-in voting. Even in Anchorage, they're going to arrest men or people, parents, or they're going to charge them if they try to stop their kids from learning the LGBT lifestyle. They're doing a lot of bad things, so don't believe what you hear on radio. Sure, go vote, but don't vote for Democrats like Tiffany Zakowski who want to take away your permanent fund. And she lied to them guys. She said, like, we all want them to take our permanent fund. Don't blame it on President Trump, you know. You're blaming the wrong person. There's a lot of voter fraud going on. And after this election, it could be all over for Alaska.
Huh.
They're using mail-in voting to cheat. To cheat, you guys. Go ahead and vote, but don't vote for any Democrats. And don't believe what they say about President Trump. He's trying to help us. Okay, those are my comments. Be careful what you hear.
Okay.
What Diane said, you guys, be careful what you hear.
All right. Thank you, Herman. I like to do this. I like to make this comment when someone says something that is just really not accurate, and I want to be fair to people who may listen and you know, feel upset or anything. But your public schools do not have as part of the curriculum education on how to be gay, lesbian, whatever. So that is not part of the curriculum. And now we can go to new callers. So I have a little announcement about voting. Bethel voters can vote now in the state primary scheduled for August 18th. They can cast their absentee in-person ballots at the Nora Gwynn Courthouse. Voters will have to use the side entrance near KYUK. That's 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday until the 17th. Thank you. All right, I'm going to go to an anonymous caller from Alaska. Good morning, Anonymous.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. You're on the air.
Well,
hello.
I have a bone to pick on that Mr. Herman. It's called. I've been with the Postal Service for over 30 years, and he has gall to call and say, voter fraud. He doesn't know nothing. He has no proof. Mr. Trump doesn't have no proof, and he's trying to take away my livelihood. What's the matter with these people? Over 30 years. That really ticks me off. Is he going to give me a job? What's wrong with these people?
Which
economical crap that he's bringing up.
That
sounds horse manure to me. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. We got an email, very short email, and it says, should the post office be sabotaged by the President of the United States? Question. All right. Thank you for your emails, your calls. You know, there's a lot going on, and there's a little bit of anxiety that people, you know, might be experiencing, low grade, because we're having to be a little more aware of our surroundings, of people we're with, of having a mask on, washing hands a lot of times, and keeping social distance. And that can be a little bit stressful for sure. I'm going to go to, now Herman's back for round two. So wait, let me take a deep breath. Okay. Herman,
yeah,
welcome back.
I'll calm down. I just pointed out why KYK wouldn't want to take 15,000. But you guys, you know why they didn't want postal employees to sign it? Because you sign for one person, they can sign for anybody. Even they don't know. Answer me one question, Buck, and you guys would call. If the lieutenant governor say that we have to vote by mail because it's too dangerous to vote by polls.
Mm-hmm.
So how come they open polling places? That's a lie. You guys, it's okay, you know. We try to warn people of how much fraud is by mailing voting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to get attacked, but people don't see what's going on. Alaska and Anchorage could become like Portland. They're collapsing because it's the 2-day election, even Anchorage. I'm telling you, be careful who you vote for. I'm not trying to hurt. I'm trying to help you guys, Buck.
Mm-hmm.
If you still like a postmaster sign for one person, they have to sign for anybody.
Herman,
there's too much voter fraud, Diane. If you're watching the wrong channel, you're watching NBC and CNN. You're watching the USA is collapsing right now because of mail-in voting, because of voter fraud. The United States is collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Anchorage, their assembly, they have 3 openly gay people, and they're saying it's by mail-in voting. And they see it, and they're closing down Anchorage. They can't let people do things, and yet the mayor, he go riot. He go march in the Black Lives Matter. It's bigger than just mail-in voting. It's called globalization. And it's happening here in Alaska. You know, I'm not trying to hurt nobody, Buck, are you guys? If they do it for you, they have to do it for everybody. They could be a wrong person signing it, and they're finding that out. One person with ballot harvesting, he could put 1,000 votes. He can collect 1,000 ballots.
So
why can't they just go vote? Okay, bye, Dad. I'm not going to argue with you.
No, I'm not. I don't have.
I'm not going to argue with you, Dorian.
I'm not arguing.
I've been down that road before.
Okay.
And it'd be.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but you guys control the airways.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling and being persistent. I appreciate that. I think when you go to the post office to get a signature of a postal employee, what you would normally do is show your ID card. So they're not going to witness your signature without identification of who you are. But now even that is not allowed, apparently, based on the previous caller's information. So we're going to go and take a break. You know what to do. Wash those hands for 20 seconds. You'll feel better. All right. See you you're listening to Talkline on KYUK.
Passengers on select Grant Aviation flights may have been exposed to coronavirus between August 3rd and August 10th. The list of impacted flights can be found at kyuk.org. If you are one of those passengers, contact your village clinic or call 543-6949.
Grant Aviation agun ayalchit coronavirus salgamon malhugut huyukait. Dungun pingayun namak dungun kulat kisugu. Dung sutum utik hukatun uhasu natmun ayas huku vut igausnalgani huani kyuk.org. Kayaga hununaftsni klinika kwasu kayaga huluku 543-6949.
If you're an older adult or have a serious chronic medical condition, make sure to put distance between yourself and others to help reduce your risk of being exposed to COVID-19. Stay home as much as possible. Have enough household items and groceries on hand. Monitor your health and stay in touch with your doctor. And here's some advice for everyone. Check in on your friends and neighbors. We're all in this together. Learn more about how to prevent the spread of COVID-19 at coronavirus.alaska.gov.
This is Allison Oscar. I listen to KYUK 640 AM from Bethel, Alaska on the internet at kyuk.org.
Welcome back. We got a couple of callers lined up, so we're going to go right to it. Chico from Alaska. Good morning, Chico.
Yeah, good morning to all. Good morning to all, and be safe, and coming from Chivac.
Oh.
Be all good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, we like getting our greeting from Chivac. If you're in a community that we don't usually hear from very much, call in and give us a greeting from your beautiful village. All right, we're going to go to Susan from Bethel. Good morning, Susan.
I just want to comment that you're not flooding your opinion on Mr. Herman.
Uh-huh.
In fact, you're trying to ask a question, and he's saying you're arguing. He won't even let you ask a question. And that's just plain rude, and I want to quote a saying from Martin Luther King. I might be chopping it a bit, but I hope the point comes across. Darkness doesn't get rid of darkness. You need light to do that. Hate doesn't get rid of hate. You need love to do that.
Okay.
And he's just maybe there needs to be some Democrat Life Matters marches and some Gay Life Matters marches in Antioch, because
don't target too much here. Go ahead
okay,
and stay
we're all
on
God's children
your point of view.
We're all God's children, and I want people to know that everybody's life matters, everybody's opinion matters. And we can ask questions and not be accused of arguing. That's just, you know, it's embarrassing. He's embarrassing himself in the airways. But in any event, he'll probably call again. Sorry to cause that.
Oh, see, now you had to slip that in, Susan. Gosh darn you.
But I want to put the word out that the produce dairy giveaway continues.
Okay.
There's road construction delays probably, but we will be doing that again.
Okay.
And get there before 4 if you can, because there's already a long line.
Yeah.
And this is going to go on hopefully for the rest of August. I'll let you know if it ends. Go ahead.
Oh, just for people standing in line, you'd probably like them to stay a little bit distant and also have masks on,
oh, yeah,
right?
Social okay. distancing and masks for sure.
Okay.
And not only that, tomorrow, Saturday, is the monthly Lions Club Food Bank. And that's once a month. It's the third Saturday of each month. It kind of hits weird in August, but it's because August started on a Saturday. But it's the third Saturday of each month, which is tomorrow, and that is from 11 to 1. And again, that's curbside, outdoors, wear a mask, social distance. And volunteers can come at 10 to help set up and help run it. And that's going to be boxes of canned dried goods and the bigger families get more. It's rationed out to size of family, whereas the produce dairy giveaway is like one per household. But this food bank is if you're income eligible, and people that have unlimited income, like Social Security or the Quest card people and things like that, or TANF, you know, people know that they qualify, and the paperwork's minimized now because of COVID-19. We run it through faster, and I'm not sure how long that system will last. I know in October we have to register people again, and we'll figure out a safe way to do that. So I did want to put the word out for those things. And just be careful, everybody. As far as the news now about the virus, you know, non-residents have not been put, you know, they have those little dots that have how many in each region. And the thing is, when they say non-resident, out here that could mean anything. That could be a village teacher, a construction worker, itinerant traveler. It could be anybody when they say non-resident. It could be some adult child visiting their parents here, or somebody out here for a summer job. And they call it a non-resident, but the bottom line is the virus doesn't care if it's a resident or a non-resident. It's another person out here that can accidentally expose somebody else. So just the thing is be rational and be respectful of the situation as far as be knowledgeable about wearing masks, social distancing, washing hands, and not going out and about for anything. Just, you know, be an antisocial introvert or whatever, to stay home, you know. Turn down any party invitations and all that because, you know, right now there's that, what is it, 250,000 bikers and a 10-day party thing in South Dakota.
In Sturgis, we'll, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to see what happens from that.
Yeah.
And the thing is 10 days, you can, it can, they can pretty much percolate. I know when people get off the plane that fly here and return here or go out here, please, please, please do the test. Get tested. And understand that even if it comes out negative, sometimes after an exposure, it doesn't percolate to anything detectable until it could be up to 14 days. That's
right.
Why a lot of employees and a lot of villages and stuff are doing 14-day quarantine. And that's why you hear that figure for out of state now for some places. So even if you test negative, every Wednesday afternoon there's free question, no question asked testing like at YK. And you know, someone flies in from Anchorage, do the test, hunker down, don't go out and about all over the place, stay put, and do the test on Wednesday again, and maybe the following Wednesday, because it can it cannot be detectable for up to 14 days. And I'm pretty sure that maybe this was the situation maybe with that pilot that's been on the news, because maybe he flew in, tested negative, went back to work, and maybe the quarantine was only a week or something. Maybe that'll be a thing for all employers to be aware of, because we learn from these things.
Right.
You know?
Now, also, if you wear a mask, do social distance, wash your hands frequently, it's hard for you to get the virus.
So it's hard. It makes make it hard to get the virus, exactly.
Yeah, and it's hard for you to, if you were positive, it's hard for you to give it to somebody.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it could,
yeah.
could still spread, but they've been documenting that the people, the masks have made a difference in how severe how severe the illness is. And
yes.
nobody's arguing that.
No, no.
And they are making gains as far as ways to treat it, you know, in the hospital. They're making some gains there, and there's some promise with the vaccinations, but I still fear that that may be more of a political rush job. And but there's things, there's progress. And people just need to really be respectful of the situation, not be irrational. And I know it's getting on people's nerves because they're kind of jumping on each other. You know, we hear it a little bit on the radio, myself included. But
Susan.
We just need to really stay safe, stay strong, and just really be aware.
Okay.
And people with kids, I really feel bad because this, they're torn about this school business. That's just a... I just think, wow, you know. You know, and I know kids most of the kids don't get sick from it, but they can. They can get sick, and I have a niece that's a doctor, pediatrics in a Chicago hospital. And the kids can get sick. Not as often, but they can, and they can get real sick. And it's just I just don't know. I'd be so hypervigilant and scared for my kids if I had kids. I just feel really bad about the stress these parents are going through. And other than that, we'll see. Anybody that just getting the word on the produce giveaway and the food bank, and you know, I just think we just need to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Or and part of the solution is just wearing a mask, social distancing and washing hands.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. All right, thank you, Susan.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to go to an anonymous caller from Bethel. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad.
Awesome.
I still have a pet peeve with these four-wheelers on the state highway.
Yes.
And the ones that are on the city roads, they're pretty much following the city municipality code based upon how they're riding their four-wheelers or ATV. But that one on the state highway is getting kind of ridiculous. What are they going to wait for? Somebody get killed? Then enforce the law? I just don't understand that.
Hmm.
Now, this thing with Donald Trump and him trying to not help the post office so we could do our mail-in ballots, that's, to me, that would be, what's that word? What is it called? Collusion? He's trying to keep his presidency by not helping the rest of the government services that are needed on a daily basis, including the Postal Service. So that makes no sense. And I don't see why the rest of us in America are allowing this president to do what he's doing and getting away with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people going up for election this year. Start voting people you think that'll make a difference in the Congress and the Senate and, you know, your local government. But what bugs me is there's too much collusion going on between certain entities throughout this world, and including Bethel. You don't see it, you don't hear about it, but it's happening. So It don't make no sense why we allow people to do what they did. Look what the city council did recently. They put the city manager on restricted status. That goes to tell you that, you know, he's, even though he's got that 20, 30 years experience as city manager, how would someone like that allow his people to do what they do, and he's the one responsible for his actions?
Mm-hmm.
That makes no sense. Anyway, you all be safe. Have a good weekend, and wherever you travel, make sure you notify somebody so that they know you're on your way to and from, and just be safe. And this COVID-19 thing, people do what they should do. It works. If they do something else, we have all these problems.
Yeah, thank you.
So, you know, it's common sense. Tell you, use your brain. Your brain's there for a reason. If they tell you to do something and it's going to help the situation, do it. You do something else, there's consequences. Okay, have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Thank you for calling. We're going to go to Willie Keppel from Quinnahawk. Good morning, Willie. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
It is a nice morning down here, too. Just enough breeze to keep no seams off you.
Same here.
Good. It's slow fishing. We don't have the peak of silvers haven't hit us yet. I spent an hour down there throwing pixies yesterday morning and went with the tide coming in and never even hooked a fish. So everybody's just kind of sitting back and picking berries right now, I think. But that's the fishing report from Quinnahawk. Give it a week, it'll be hot. But where we're headed this morning is, besides the PFD, which I believe every Alaskan owns, and I'll always stand for that. I'm looking at, people keep asking me, well, besides PFD, what's on your agenda? What do you see? Well, first off, I see the same thing I've seen for over 30 years, and that's the cost of living out here. The cost of living is so high that Bethel can't hire police officers that want to live there. You have your jail guards coming from somewhere else. The hospital has tons of doctors, nurses, and other highly trained personnel, and they all do a 2-and-2 work week, just like Prudhoe Bay. And the reason for that is it's the city's cost of living. People retire, they've already bought a house somewhere else. I don't know how many friends over 30 years I've watched pick up and be gone. The second their retirement starts, they move to the Mat-Su Valley, Lower 48, somewhere else, because they know that retirement can't pay the bills in Bethel. And so here's where I'm headed. For over 20 years, I fought and fought and fought to get a road through the center of town. There's absolutely no reason to be tied up at Watson's Corner. You know, I mean, how much time have you wasted? And when you start looking at you as an individual, that's one thing. That's your personal time. But if you're a business trying to deliver packages from the airport to Thunder Ridge, that's costing businesses money to pay the drivers to sit and sit and sit just to get through. There needs to be that road through the donut hole. That is a cost and a traffic diverter. It gives you the divisions. There's no sense. Everybody driving down main road through housing. That's the highest density of children in town, housing. And yet that's where all the dust is created from all the traffic. I'm going to open that road through the donut hole. 20 years ago, we had a meeting with every shareholder in the donut hole, 100% in favor of donating their property for roads, so everything is open to access. It's right there next to your water and sewer. You can run water sewer lines right there. Hmm. Now, the next thing I'm going to do is the biggest mistake the city's ever made is not forcing YKHC to develop the well in Kasaili. When you think about how much your water sewer bill is, and those water trucks go out there with 3,000 gallons, 3,500, if there's no road limit, weight limit on the road, and they fill what? 1.5 duplexes out there. The hospital has like 17 duplexes, not counting everybody else. Their whole life, the water truck driver and sewer truck driver's whole life is spent driving back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There's a well punched out there that the city has on the lot that's designated to the city. Now, when I talked to former manager Pete Williams, he told me, yep, $15 million is what it is, but the well logs disappeared. Well, no manager that I've talked to has seen the well logs. They all disappeared when Bob Herron left office. So wherever they went, whether, who knows, but they're gone. So anyway, we need to get that thing out there. There should be a water point just for trucks. That water truck should never leave Kasaili. That's a huge place, tons of deliveries out there. There should be a building big enough they can take one of those fire trucks that's sitting right in front of the fire station and parked out there, so you have a volunteers that can jump right there and instantly be going to those houses within minutes. There's times in the winter, and we all know it, you can't barely get into Kasaili because of the glare ice.
Yeah.
If you can get the water truck parked out there that never leaves, a fire pumper truck sitting out there, volunteers from the Kasaili end, at least they have instant fire protection for all those brand new nice houses. Okay. And that in itself will lower the cost when you get rid of all the wasted time driving back and forth. Your water sewer bills are going down. And that's going to happen. You know, those are two of my priorities for the Bethel. And the reason I want them is because it lowers the cost of doing business, which every village depends on.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get everything from Bethel. So the higher your costs are, the higher our costs are. So that's kind of my spiel for the day, other than I'll never vote for a budget that doesn't include a statutory PFD. So your turn, Diane, if you got any questions.
No, I mean, you covered things fairly well. You might want to tell people why you are taking a stand on certain things. They may not be aware that you're...
Well, the cost of living out here is pretty self-explanatory. And
aren't you on the ballot?
I'm sorry?
Aren't you running?
Aren't you running for something? Well, okay, Willie, that's all. I'm helping you out. So if you... Go ahead.
I think pretty much. Thank you. I'll do it anyway. I'm running for House District 38. representative. I'm running against Tiffany Zolkowski, and I'll be on the November ballot. I skipped the primaries because I have to gather signatures. I had enough of the Republicans. I had enough of the Democrats, and I joined the Alaska Veterans Party, and I'm just going enough of the ones that have already put us with a $1.4 billion deficit. That's what this new legislature is going into face right now. These people have already put us in a hole. The legislators that are up for re-election.
And we have, so you're coming to the time, the cutoff time, Willie. So,
okay, cool. Yeah. Well, I appreciate the time. Everybody drive safe on the river and make sure you don't wave your guns around. Teach them kids gun safety. Good luck. Fill the freezers.
Okay. Thank you. Whew. Okay. So I had a quick email. I'm going to say it's anonymous in case it just to be on the safe side. And it's very short. It goes like this. When we use politics to make decisions, all lives don't matter. Okay. Thank you for that. Oh, I'm sorry. Noah from Tuluksac. Good morning. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Glad you called.
Yes. I'm just another subject here. I would like to thank the people for supporting Olga Johnson in the Pawtucket. And due to this pandemic, all the churches were closed.
Mm.
And we had little issues with Moravian. We tried to, but there was a little window. They brought the body to the church, which was good. And we had the service at the graveyard, which came out awesome. And it was a very good day, sunny day like this. And for the people that came from outside of Napakia, they bring comfort to the people that have lost in a family. And I was there. That's why I wanted to thank the people that came and their thoughts and prayers to the family. Hmm. And that's one part. And the other part is the funds that came from U.S. called Pandemic Fund. They're giving the villages or the communities $1 million or $2 million for the purpose of COVID-19. It's not supposed to, the tribal council aren't supposed to make a decision on it. It's for the villages to have set up a light bill, free light bills. On the other hand, they distribute free gas, free stove oil. In some villages, they're distributing refrigerators, which is good. And they need to honor that fund, not for the tribal elected council. It's for the people. And thank you for taking my call and let me talk about my thoughts. Thank you very much. Have a nice day, Diane.
Thank you, right. Noah. Very, very right. Nice of you to call. Okay, we're going to go to Tim from Bethel. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Unlock.
Oh, good morning.
Yeah, Tim, Andrew.
That Tim, yes.
Yeah,
how are you?
Tim, not the other Tim.
And
or
tell,
any other.
And tell Joanne I said hi.
I shall do.
Yes.
I think she's likely listening. But haven't been on Soapbox for a while.
Yeah, so climb up and tell us what's on your mind.
Okay, I shall do that. First of all, thank you to Willie Keppel from Quinnahop for bringing up the cost of living issue here in Bethel. It's extremely costly to live here, and I brought this up before that rather than the council taxing us for ordering from Amazon and whatnot, they ought to look into the cost of living issue here in Bethel. You know, the cost of generating electricity and warehousing and keeping store goods in stock and whatnot, it gets extremely expensive. And they have to look into things like cheaper energy, like solar and wind and whatnot. That'll bring the cost down to live here. But the primary reason I'm calling was the four-wheeler use here in Bethel. And it's from what I've seen, it's getting pretty dangerous. Seeing very young, very little children driving four-wheelers at incredible speeds down public streets and highways. It's not going to be nice when somebody gets hurt or killed. But it's time for the council to look at the issue and to address the four-wheeler use.
Yeah,
that's my thing for today, and hope and pray that everybody wears a mask and be safe out there, and wear your life jackets and hope and pray that all is well.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Hey, it's really nice to hear you, and thank you for calling in. Have a great day. Okay, we're going to go to John from Eek, and then we have a couple of emails, so we'll try to get everything in. John, welcome to Talkline. Is this John? John, you're on.
Hey, okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Oh, okay, John. John Carter, yeah.
Yeah, this is John Carter. I'm calling from Eek, Alaska. I'm coming over there to talk on this morning and talk a bit about voting systems. That's something that I have been hearing this morning. What we were still talking about this morning is something that will not be disrupted unless it has been voted by the two houses down in Washington, D.C., the Senate and the Republicans. People can still mail out and receive whatever they want to the post office. There's no longer against their own law against that, I don't think. What Mr. Trump was saying about the voting system result is on the mail, that is just an opinion, but that's what he's thinking about, thinking of. But if it has been done by both houses, and if it has, then the system may have been changed for the funding system. He was talking about what he was talking about, the funding. The point is, if it has been voted by the House, both houses, it would be, but no, nothing too much to worry about. Good day.
Oh, okay. Thank you, John. So I think we're going to go, you want me to read one email or Grady? I'll read one and then we'll go to a break. So this is from Anonymous and it goes like this. The city moved the dumpster that was painted with Black Lives Matter from the police department to the courthouse. The new police chief said, move that dumpster or I will have officers that will quit. Then they moved it to the courthouse, and the courthouse said to move it too. I don't know where it is now. I think it's at City Hall. Okay, we have some dumpster wars, I guess. Who knew? All right, we're going to go to a break. As usual, you know what to do during your break. It's perfect time to wash hands. All right, I'll be back on the other side. This is Talkline on KYUK.
Talkline is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during Talkline may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Election season is around the corner. Are you prepared to vote by mail? In Alaska, anyone can vote by mail. Simply apply online or send in your application via mail, fax, or email. Applications for a mail-in ballot must be received 10 days prior to Election Day. For more details and assistance in applying for absentee voting, contact Division of Elections at 907-270-2700 or visit vote.org/absentee-ballot/Alaska. A message from the Association of Village Council Presidents. The Bethel Native Corporation Virtual Annual Shareholders Meeting will be held Saturday, August 15th at 10 a.m. Instructions for electronic and telephonic attendance are included in the shareholder packets. BNC needs your proxies before the virtual annual meeting. Proxies can be submitted electronically this year at www.bncvote.com, or paper proxies can be mailed or dropped off at the BNC office. All proxies must be submitted before August 14th at 5 p.m. to be counted. More information available at the BNC website or by calling BNC at 543-2124. This message sponsored by Bethel Native Corporation.
Welcome back, everybody, with your freshly scrubbed hands. I'm going to go to Vicki Malone from Bethel. Good morning, Vicki. Welcome to Talkline.
Hey, good morning, Diane. Am I coming through okay?
Loud and clear.
Okay, so I just want to remind everybody that we're having a pop-up Sudan medical relief fundraiser in the parking lot of YPCC tomorrow, beginning at 11, and we'll sell till we run out. It's going to be African curried chicken with vegetables. A really good meal, cornbread, rice, brownies, $20. We'll have kids' meals. We'll have a vegetarian option. Call us if you're quarantined. Call me, and I'll try and figure out a way to have something to you.
What time again?
Pardon me?
What time again?
Starts at 11, and we'll be selling until at least 2, and we'll keep selling if we haven't run out. So my number is 545-5323. People can text us if they are quarantined and can't get out to get it. We'll try and figure out how and when to get it to you. And we're, it's just to stop and grab and go. We've got 8 feet space. Everything will be, in containers. You just pick it up, pay, and leave.
Wow. Okay.
And it's maybe a little challenging because there may be a little bit of road construction that way, but I guess we're kind of getting used to
now,
that.
Now, who's cooking?
Well, we've got a number of people baking.
Oh, wow.
Then,
okay.
I'm doing the main course.
Wow. That's neat. All right. Good, Vicki. That's delicious. I'm going to be there.
Okay. Thanks, Diane, and have a great day, everybody. Be safe.
Yeah, you too.
All
okay.
Right, bye.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to read an email from Anonymous, and this is the start of the email. Good morning, Diane. I think you are a wonderful radio talk show host. Okay, just an aside, everyone. That really is in the email. Okay. So the email goes on. Regardless of the negativity of certain callers, I urge you to continue to be fair, open, and honest. Thank you for hosting. With the permanent fund, I'm very glad our elected officials think of my grandkids as well as the children and grandkids they've yet to have in the future. As bad as our economy is, along with the high cost of living, I'm willing to get a smaller PFD so my future descendants will get a PFD also. They may need it more than me, and like our ancestors, I'll do the best I can and take on the challenges of struggling and surviving. I urge all listeners to continue practicing hand washing, wearing a mask in public, and keeping a safe distance of 6 feet. Also to keep active, rest well, and maintain a good native diet. We will survive. Guyana from Anonymous. Okay, thank you for your email. And if you want to email and have it read over the air, you can remain anonymous, and you can do that by sending your email to radio@kyuk.org. Okay, do I have another email? Sorry, Grady, I didn't see. Oh, okay, I'm refreshing the screen to make sure. So I'm going to give out the numbers real quick. 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954. Okay, so here is an email. It's from Anonymous. Hello, fellow Chilista shareholders. If you want to be able to vote no, if you want to be able to vote on Donlin and you have Facebook, go to the No Donlin Facebook page. There is a link to a petition to make Chilista hold a vote. Enough people have to sign the petition if it's going to happen, though. Find the petition if you want this, or if you got mail with a petition inside, be sure to fill it out and mail it back. Anonymous. Okay, and then another... Oh, that doesn't have a message. Oh, okay. Okay, so we had an email come in, but it's blank, so... We're gonna go to Howard from Bethel.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, Howard. Go ahead.
I get kind of tired of hearing that guy talking on the talk show. He talks over and over and over and saying things over and over and over about they should have. I'm glad you're here because it's not happening now. But really annoying, he talks more than the host before you. So it's really ridiculous, you know, and I was getting annoyed, and I wanted to call in, but it was just, like I said, you hear him over and over, and you really get tired of it.
Well, we don't want to go directly to that person, but if you disagree with something...
Yes, that's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
And hope you have a good weekend.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. You too. Okay. All right. So... Okay, I think there's another caller, but I'm going to give the weather report real quick. So for Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta... Tonight, it's going to be clear, lows around 50, northwest wind, 10 to 20 miles per hour. And boy, it's looking clear right now, too. And yesterday, the day before, and today, beautiful days. And I was out yesterday, out on the tundra with my friend, Deshian, and my three dogs. And we saw quite a few blueberries. And this is a super secret location, and... I will only tell special people where I found these blueberries. But they were still there. Some of them were pretty fat. All right, we're going to go to a caller, Jeff Sanders from Bethel. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning, Diane.
How are you?
I'm great.
Awesome.
I had some feedback and pushback. Three former callers.
Okay.
Willie's comments were too extensive to really, it would use up my time allotment. But I did want to say, as far as the bottleneck at Watson's Corner, that's kind of like a broken clock that tells the correct time twice a day. people can kind of deal with that by just using, the cliché's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
When YK has their lunch hour and when YK quits work, there's a bottleneck there for a while, and you can just avoid the intersection. I don't think it requires a whole new road system to deal with. And like I said, he brought up other issues that I'm not going to comment on. They're too extensive. Herman brought up some real nostalgia for me, and I'd tell you a short story. I think it's within my time limit.
Go for it.
When my two older children were in the house watching television with my wife, who wasn't my wife at the time, and my son was about two or two and a half. I can't remember his exact age because he was very precocious with language, and that's kind of the part of the story. I was outside at the end of my long driveway, probably trying to make something start because of my fondness for used equipment, and I have a lot of used equipment. I was probably trying to make something start that wouldn't, and he comes running out to the end of the driveway, and he's pulling on my coat and trying to get my attention, and I'm busy and want to ignore him, but finally I just couldn't anymore, and I said, well, you know, what's on your mind? And, you know, bear in mind, he'd been inside watching television with my wife, and he says, Dad, Dad, get Aquavolva and smell like a man. And Herman's gullibility when it comes to filtering news.
Okay, see, we can't really talk. We can't really talk about, you know, just what you disagree with is fine, but we're not assessing callers, so... Sorry, Jeff. Got to redirect you there. Is there something that you want to disagreed with, that you want to give a different point of view? That's okay, too.
Well, I disagree with coming on public networks where you have the ability to influence other people's ideas with poorly researched ideas of your own.
Okay.
And I think that we... especially in this time with all the different website news, there needs to be a gullibility filter in place.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
I would also comment on Buck's comments on the post office. My own standard for senatorial behavior would be that of the late Ted Stevens, and probably some people would disagree with me, and that's fine. I expect that. I hope for that, even. At any rate, in regard to the post office, had the actions of our current president happened during Ted's tenure, he would have been jumping up and down on the president's desk.
Yeah.
You know, he would have been defending the post office. He would have been defending bypass mail.
Yep.
And why is our delegation just so strangely mute on this point? And wouldn't a senator's obligation, and again, I'd say Ted's kind of sets the example for senatorial conduct. Senators are supposed to think about things that are in the national interest, and, you know, they're also there to promote regional interests. And probably Ted's detractors would say through his earmarks, maybe he overdid the regional interests, but he was always right there on the right vote when it came to national policy. And the post office, you know, all of us that live in rural Alaska know just how vital and important it is to us. Not just a vote, but a whole number of other issues. We know that. And I think people also know it that live in the lower 48, that it's just a viable, it's a very important agency. And we continue to ask it to show a profit. And basically, it's there to promote commerce.
Yeah.
Well, so is the interstate highway system. And we don't ask it to show a profit.
No.
So... that's pretty much my comments. I'm disappointed in our delegation's silence.
Yeah.
You know, just to draw a conclusion for anybody that doesn't understand my views and how important they are. I think the post office is vital. I can't understand why they can't push back on this.
Okay.
They're
okay. Yeah.
They need to.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Glad you called, Jeff.
And helping me tell this story.
Yeah, that was a funny story, too. All right. We're going to go to Stephen Alexi from Neboskiak. Good morning, Stephen. Are you on? Okay. Stephen, I'm going to read a short email and then we'll go there to our caller. Good morning. Is it true that the testers at Bethel Airport don't change their gloves after every test? I read this on Facebook, a concerned traveler. Okay, thank you for sending that question. I'm going to go to Stephen Alexi from Neboskiak.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I just tuned in, so I don't know what has been discussed. And I know for times to come, we're going to be discussing coronavirus.
Sure.
The city of Bethel had just gotten so many millions of dollars, and instead of trying to distribute it to the small businesses in Bethel, they should be creating, along with the tribe of Bethel, coronavirus task force. You know, this is a very serious matter.
Mm-hmm.
When we get, you know, and I just read that Bethel is on the verge of community spread. If this virus spreads within the city of Bethel and throughout the Delta, our lone hospital is not going to be able to handle, you know, the amount of people infected. Are you still there?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm still here. Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
So, yeah, those two entities, the city of Bethel along with ONC, need to come up with a coronavirus task force. And anybody coming into Bethel, as you know, they're going to state that they're not, they cannot follow without the governor's mandate. And, you know, hell, governor's mandates can be, you know, overwritten by the people of the, you know, for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is a health issue that's very serious, people coming in from Anchorage need to come in with a negative test result before they come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's some kind of disagreement on whether the city of Bethel is allowed to do more mandates than is set by the governor. Now, Anchorage can do that, and Fairbanks can do that, but they say that the city of Bethel can't.
That's what I was just going to, you know, like you just said, I don't know if the city of Bethel can do more.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very serious illness, disease that, you know, can affect a lot of natives out there that have underlying conditions such as high blood pressure, a lot of cancer people, you know, a lot of people living with this and that. Mm-hmm. And you guys can defy what the state is doing or even follow.
Well, yeah, Stephen, thank you. I mean, I hear the concern you have, and I think you have a very good idea about how we can control the flow at the airport and who comes in. And some people, some people say that a second-class city like Bethel can make those kind of efforts, and some say not. So we don't know yet.
And then the other thing, Donlin Gold opposers, those who are opposing Donlin Gold, turn off your cell phones, turn off your computers. These kind of devices are loaded with gold.
Oh, okay, yes.
So if you put your cell phone down for a day, a lot of people can't live without their cell phone.
Yeah.
Especially our younger generation.
Right. Well, thank you. Yeah. Oh, sorry, yeah, Stephen. Okay. We have a couple of callers backed up.
Yeah,
But I'm so glad you called, and thank you for your thoughtful comments.
Mm-hmm, thanks.
You're welcome. All right, we're going to go to Herman for round three. Do we have Herman? Welcome to the show, Herman. Part three. We don't have a lot of time. I have another caller backed up, so go. Herman? You have to turn down your radio in the background.
It's off.
Oh, there you go. Okay, good.
Okay, sorry about not letting you ask a question, but I'm not going to be calling for a while because if all we ever listen to is one side, people will believe that.
You know, and we need to ask God to help us in this situation and to get us through this. You know, about the permanent fund, you know, they keep taking up permanent fund, and the chairman in charge of the permanent fund in the House, he say, those people in rural Alaska, they don't know how to spend their permanent fund. They just get drunk and spend it on other things. That's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. They're saying they have to take your permanent fund to spend it to you. I've been watching what's going on in Alaska Information Channel and other channels, you know. I'm trying to warn people that there's something really bad happening, and the way they do it, they control the news and even talk radio. Well, nothing personally against you, Don. It's just what they're using you for. And you can go out and ask your question, but it hurts when people, they could get $15,000, $20,000 a family, and the lawmakers in charge of it say, those people, they don't know how to spend their permanent fund.
Right. Now,
and they take it away from me. Okay, what is your question? But I'm not going to call for a while, but people need to understand.
Right.
I'm trying to help the people.
So,
I see what's going on.
So, Herman, this is the third call, so we're going to have to, like...
So what's your question?
No, we have to move on because I have other callers and emails.
You're going to ask me a question. What's your question?
No, I don't have a question for you.
You did have... Maybe my answer is the right way, and maybe you're afraid to ask.
Oh, no. But
so
I'm going to...
What's your question, then?
No, I don't have a question. So what I'm going to do is we have to go to another caller because
I'm not going
to
call for a while. People don't understand. I'm not gullible. I see it.
Okay.
I see it, okay? You guys are being gullible. You're believing everything you hear on news and radio.
Understood. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and move on. And we're going to go to Cesari from Bethel. Good morning, Cesari. Thank you for waiting.
Herman, are you getting annoyed?
No.
Okay.
Say what you need to say, because we don't have a lot of time.
Okay, I'm saying what they're saying. Those, you know, the best what I heard was from Bill Gates, which was really defending all this testing. These days, he said, read his statement, that was the testing is worthless. You know, that's what he said. He said, you know, only way to prevent ourselves and be safe is this, use common sense. And protect yourself. Use mask, wash your hands, use gloves if you need it. That's what it is, you know. And if all of those Democrats and liberals in this Delta, which is about 99%, I told them, I watched news in an interview from people running away from Chicago and New York, and they say, this is what's going on over there, Portland. Actually, there was like some family, second and third generation from Poland moving back to Poland. They even don't speak Polish. And they have an interview. They said, there's no law in there. Those Democrats running those states is out of law. There is no nothing. It's nothing to stop it. They're polluting, they're burning houses. They're burning houses with people. They don't care. Anything.
Hmm.
The stealing everywhere. Cops can't go arrest them because if you push the hand to get arrested, they charge you. So the cops don't have any power over the looters, over the criminals. Mostly those people would, in that interview said, America going to be ended. There was, if those people would have the power in the state, New York and Chicago and Minneapolis, if they go to the power in this country, we have Wild West, we have revolution, we people start shooting to protect their own property. That is not joke. That
yeah.
is serious thing. How you watching your kids be raped or burn at your house, or burn at you everything what you work so hard all your life. And that's what is happened. And those educated people in Seattle, Portland, Chicago, elected Democrats by Democrats, they protect them. The outlaw have more rights and more protection from the law enforcement or good working hard men.
Huh. Okay.
What this thing go, is, that is not heart, that is serious problem. And if you don't see that, because CNN no show, if you guys now see this, look other channels, look some other countries, look some what the people talking about, what is really story. Look in RTV, we have this another channels and creating more, and I hope more see people what's going on. Open the eyes. This thing spreading like cancer. That is worse with the coronavirus. They're going to destroy everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Okay.
Everybody life. So that's what I say, and this enjoy the weather, get some extra fish, because you never know what happened with those looters and black matter get over, and they say, we do our way, we get the control.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, with all that's on everyone's mind, getting out and enjoying the day would be a really good idea.
Yeah, that gets you a little more relaxed.
Yeah.
My gut is turning through what's going on, watching the shows in there, and nobody even mentioned anything. Everybody talking how good they are.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's good just to take a news break and just be outside and just let the outside work on you.
We step up, everybody step up, try no look. You know what we want to go to.
Okay, I'm going to have to go just because it's near the end of the show, Cesare. I'm so glad you called.
Okay, have a good day.
Thank you, you too. And well, I'm going to I have Bob from Bethel, very short. Go ahead, Bob, and then I've got two emails in the end.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Hey, everything that Jeff said except the thing about the aqua velva, but I'd like to expand on that a little bit. I would challenge Don Young and Dan Sullivan and Little Miss Ryan to go on statewide TV and tell us how they're going to make sure that the election goes smoothly this year. The post office is going to be the thing this year, and they need to make it work, or they need to get a new job. It's no secret what's going on. So Jeff stole my thunder, but I thought I'd add a little bit. Thanks.
You got a little thunderclap in there, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Right. Thank you for calling. And I'm going to read, I've got two emails. One is from Anonymous. Good morning. There is already community spread of COVID-19 in Bethel. These positive cases are from someone else that had COVID. I would like our leaders in this community and at all local organizations and the school district to do everything they can to stop the spread of this virus. Let's not wait for it to be way out of control. No one should be exempt from testing or quarantining just because they are considered an essential worker. COVID doesn't care if you are an essential worker or not. And once the essential worker gets the virus, they spread it. We are already seeing this. Let's take control of this now, Bethel, before we are in a serious crisis. Thank you. All right. And then another email. Hi. This is Richard Robb with the Bethel Sportsman Club. We will be hosting two open range days at the shooting range for the public to come and sight in their rifles before the hunting season. And this will happen on August 22nd and 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. For more information or to sign up for a membership to use the range at any time, you can visit BethelSportsmansClub.com or you can email Richard Robb at you can call him at 545-2452. Thanks and have a great weekend. And then, wow, what a day. We had plenty going on, didn't we, Grady?
It was awesome.
Yeah, lots of calls. We had, we have a pop-up food, African cuisine, African curry happening tomorrow in the Cultural Center parking lot from 11 to 2. Some suggestions on merging the city of Bethel and ONC into a COVID working group. We have, if you want to volunteer at the 4-H Club to do some activities with children, the 4-H people there are ready to take your call and help you put something together. And you can call Kelly at 543-2088. A few comments about what's happening with the post office on a national level, but also we're seeing some impact here at our local level. And, of course, a greeting from Chivac, which we always enjoy. So hope you all have a wonderful day. Looks like the weekend is ready for you to pick those final blueberries and maybe start in on the cranberries. All right. Talk to you next week.